It's Marketplace Tech for January 7th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It's been a while since
Yahoo
was hailed for genius acquisitions or innovations. It owns photosite Flickr. It owns the blogging site loved by millennials, Tumblr. It owns enough of a stake in e-commerce behemoth Alibaba to dwarf the GDPs of some small countries. But despite efforts in television advertising and search led by CEO Marissa Mayer, Yahoo has been struggling to reinvent itself for the mobile world. This week, activist investor Starboard Value LP joined a chorus calling for Yahoo to spin off its core internet business and make changes to management. Jonathan Morgan is research analyst at the Edge Consulting Group. Jonathan, how big of a deal is this?
You know, you're going to have to try and please your shareholders at some point. I think the spin-off that they highlighted, this reverse spin, is a bit of a stopgap measure by Marissa Mayer to buy time to revamp the entire internet business. Because I think at the end of the day, a spin-off of the Alibaba, that didn't work. A sale, that's going to be too tedious and too complex. I think they need to go back to basics and revamp the entire internet business.
But what has to happen here or shake loose? What does Yahoo have to do to make shareholders happy?
Looking at the poor performance of the core internet business, I think that's the only way going forward. If they try to sell that as of right now, today, it's going to be a tough sell to attract any bidders for the stock. They might not get the right price for that. So I think they need to ignore these sales and spin-offs in the making, because the spin-offs themselves are taxable from what they looks like in the market. They need to go back to basics and go and revamp the entire internet business.
Jonathan Morgan, he is researcher analyst at the Edge Consulting Group. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.
The annual Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas is an event where a lot of people go to see the latest gadgets, but increasingly you can also find government officials there. FTC Chairwoman Edith Ramirez talking about consumer data, and this year, Federal Aviation Administrator Michael Huerta. Any guesses? One word, six letters, drones. The hotel hallways at CES are full of them, so increasingly are our skies. But the FAA wants you to register them with the federal government at $5 a pop. Local municipalities and a growing number of hobbyists take issue with those rules. We called up the FAA administrator, Michael Huerta. Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Now, I know some people who have been worried about this have compared this to gun registration. Is there a model that you looked at really closely when it comes to designing this program?
It's really about building safety and accountability into the culture of the user. And it's important when people operate unmanned aircraft that they realize that, in effect, they become pilots. And they're operating in an airspace that is very, very congested, and it's very active.
I know aircraft manufacturers right now are required to test their engine's ability to be struck with dead birds. Are there any plans to do something similar with drones in the future?
We haven't done testing per se, throwing drones in aircraft engines. It's the same. That's a very expensive thing to do. But you can get a lot of information based on testing that has been done in the past and then use that to model the characteristics of other foreign objects that you might introduce into an aircraft engine. Now, longer term, as this develops, I think we would expect that we will be running real-world testing.
Let's talk commercial drone use for a minute. I know some rules from you on that growing industry are expected. One might be an FAA requirement that commercial drones need to operate in the sight of a human. Won't that create problems for drones planned for infrastructure maintenance and other drone delivery business stuff?
Well, I think the important thing is you should not look at any single thing that we are doing as the last word. Yes, the rule as we announced it does focus on line-of-sight operations, but at the same time, it gives us the opportunity to authorize beyond line-of-sight operations, and that's important because that gives us data that is going to inform future activities that will allow these operations to be integrated into the national airspace system.
The technology moves so fast. How do you stay ahead of that as someone who works in the federal government, which doesn't always have a great record for being ahead of technology when it comes to policy?
Well, you made fun of me or made fun of us when we announced the drone registry. I remember you said, yeah, they did what government always does. They set up a task force. But, you know, the important thing is we've really established an approach at the FAA which is built on collaboration. I think anyone that thinks that the federal government or any regulator is going to stay ahead of technology is kidding themselves. Because, you know, face it, technology moves at the speed of imagination and government works at, well, the speed of government. And so those things start off in very different places. But if we can work collaboratively, we can come up with performance-based approaches that make us a little more nimble because we all want the same thing. We want a safe environment, and we're far better off if everyone has something to contribute to that discussion.
Michael Huerta is the administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration. He is at CES this week. Michael, thank you so much for talking to us.
Hey, it was great talking with you, Ben.
You can find a much longer version of my conversation with Mr. Huerta at marketplacetech.org. We've already talked connected devices and the Internet of Things at CES, and you may have heard about Casio and Pebble releasing new smartwatches for those who aren't into the Apple Watch or want a host of smartwatch accessories. Samsung also has a smart fridge for $5,000 that can probably tell whether you're a bachelor or a single mother and whether your milk has gone bad or run out. What else is buzzworthy in Sin City this week? We will have more for you on that tomorrow. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.